Hello, welcome back to Nintendo Nostalgia. I'm your host, Jacob Rush, and I'm joined by my co-host, Ryan Black. We're back, and we're playing with Power. Folks, fans, listeners of the show, this will be a shorter one today. Sorry we have been absent the past few weeks. We really have wanted to make this episode happen, and we said they would be more consistent, and then look at us being buffoons and not being consistent again. But it's because of life. I guess this could be a part of my radical rexing, but it's not the official start. But like, I have been on paternity leave. My wife and I had our baby that showed up about a week early, and it's just been obviously came on Saturday when we record, so that didn't happen. And then the following week, we were hoping to record, and it's just been tougher to transition back home and then have all the kids home and whatnot. And mom's been going through a lot of recovery pains unexpectedly. So that's kind of why we've been a little absent from appearing. And even this weekend, like, this is short because, you know, Ryan's got some busy things to do this weekend. He's got stuff he's paid for and planned, and he's got to take care of that. So, with all that said, real quick, Ryan, how are you this morning? I know we're tired. We're getting up extra early before your event. How are you?
I'm all right. Things are a bit chaotic here at home. Have been for the past couple weeks, but there's a lot of mechanics, a lot of emotions, a lot of frustrations with this whole thing. Someone's moving in, and they're coming from a bad situation with the divorce. So like, there's a lot of emotions and troubles and things like that. There's some added elements that make it complicated, but sure. You know, we're just trying to figure out how to navigate all of that. And it's been a fun little journey, but hopefully things will start to level out here soon and things will get back to normal.
Okay. Well, hopefully in the midst of all of the craziness for you, that's not normally the best of situations. Hopefully you have been able to radical rex about something. So why don't we get into what we have been radical rexing about? Ryan, why don't we start with you, man? Anything new that you have been excited for as of late, or you've been really into?
Yeah. I wrapped up playing Crystales finally.
Nice.
It's pretty good. I was surprised. It definitely did the RPG thing where, like, you think it's over and then there's like, oh wait, there's more, you know. But you think it's over and like, wait, it's more.
On that game, not to go in a rabbit hole, but like, what is the gameplay like? Is it like a traditional take turn JRPG?
Oh. Yeah, it's very much like Paper Mario.
Okay.
With the time button presses and everything.
Gotcha. So, okay.
Yeah, but art style is really beautiful, and it took me a little bit to get into the characters. So it starts out, it's really difficult, but like that first, the first level that you go through, or the first area,
right,
the forest.
Right.
Once you do that, like, you're good. Like, you get past that part, then you're good. You don't have to do any really grinding in the game that much.
Yeah.
At all, really. It's more of like, just you want to get money to get more items. That's probably it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it was pretty good. It's kind of the precursor RPG. It fell flat at the time that it came out, I think it's definitely like a precursor to like Sea of Stars and things like that. So
cool.
It has that kind of vibe to it somewhat.
Very cool.
Definitely different art style though. But yeah, and then I hopped back into Fortnite, giving it a good try this time. I did the season pass, battle pass, and I'm playing through that. They've got Greek gods right now, and I'm really, like, I'm always interested in, like, Hercules and Zeus and Cerberus and all of those things. So I'm like, yeah, I'm definitely in on this one. And having fun playing it. Learning the ropes, learning how to explore and find things. I'm thoroughly enjoying that. I'm at 30, I think I'm level 33 now. So I'm climbing up there, trying to get to Hades stuff, because they got the cool, you know, emotes and things. But also, Aura, the airbender, or the avatar, basically, from The Last Airbender, in the second series after Aang, is going to be unlockable here in a couple days. So I'm hoping to grab that one.
Wow.
But yeah, it's I'm having some fun with it. Surprisingly enough. And
tell Josh, he'll play with you.
Yeah, yeah. I think he's got his own squad, but hopefully I can join in on them on their games. So but yeah, it's been pretty cool. I'm surprised by the friends on my Switch who hop on or are playing Fortnite when I'm playing. I'm like, oh cool, I know these guys from the podcasting communities and stuff. So that it's good to know that it's still active with people and people are enjoying that. I do see what the addiction is, like, you know, being able to play and like going through the gameplay loop and stuff. It's
mm-hmm.
fun. That's what I'm radical asking about.
Very cool. Well, I'm not playing Fortnite. What I have been radical rexing about is I have been, obviously we had a daughter, Violet McKenzie was born on March 16th at 12:57 a.m. So it was a long Saturday. We were thinking, okay, this kid's going to come on Saturday, right? And, you know, we were in labor for about 8 hours and just laid there, and then it slipped into the next day. So technically it was Saturday morning. But because, you know, she was in the hospital, we were there just for a couple of days, it just kind of threw everything off. So, I mean, I'm excited that she's here. She is a joy, and she's really beautiful. And she overall is a pretty easy baby. I mean, she cries. She didn't cry. She, like, yells. She's like, wah, wah, when she wants some food. And then she goes right back to sleep. And the only time she cries is when you give her a bath or when she gets her diaper changed. That's about it. So, bit of radical rexing about my new baby girl. Really excited to have her finally here. Surreal, you know. After Jack, I didn't think I was going to have any more kids. And here I got one more. God has blessed me with one more beautiful girl. So, that's exciting. And because I'm on paternity leave, I've been able to game more than I have traditionally regularly. I actually have the energy for it, and I have done two things. I went back and I finally thank the Lord for save states. I love save states. I did something that I've always wanted to do but never really like had the time or prioritized it because I knew it would be hard. But thank the Lord that these save states exist on N64, because finally went back and I beat all of GoldenEye 007, and I unlocked everything, and I save stated my way. Yes, I will admit I'm a cheater. I save stated my way through the 00 agent levels, and they're tough, man. I mean, I really don't know how. I don't understand how anyone ever beat that crap on their own. Like, it is insane. You make one wrong move and you are just obliterated in the game. I mean, you die so fast, and there's only, they take away most of the body armor. They take away most of the body armor. Most levels don't have it. They make your enemy's bullets more accurate and like more powerful than in traditional game. Your auto aim is weakened and your enemies take more hits, and they ask you to do things more for most of them, more than you did in your original mission. Mm-hmm. And things are placed differently too. So like if you, like you meet a, for example, in the facility level 2, you're supposed to meet, if you play double, you could play Secret Agent and then 00 Agent, which I didn't know after all these years. I just did it for fun once. I played 00 Agent instead of Secret Agent, and then I realized it checks off 00 Secret Agent and 00 Agent. So like, whoa, okay. So it eliminates that medium mode. But like if you play medium mode, there's a scientist in faculty, and he's with all the other scientists upstairs. Mm-hmm. But on 00 Agent, he's not in that room. He's on the other side that you never even go to at all in any of your missions. Is just a room off, and you got to find it. So, like, things are just placed differently in different areas. So, I save-stated my way like a cheapskate through it, but I'm glad I did, because it was cool to finally experience, like, what those mystery black boxes were at the bottom. There's always two levels on Gold. You know what I'm talking about? On GoldenEye, yeah. It's temple levels, and they... It makes a lot of sense, too, because we would always play a multiplayer, and you had access to, like, temples and and weapons that were in those, and you're like, what is this? This isn't in any other part of the game. And then it finally all connected now. The final two puzzle pieces were put in place. So I'm glad I did that. I spent a whole weekend in a hotel playing the majority of it, and then I finished it when I got home. I was at a hotel with Lindsay for her work while she was in her last week of pregnancy for something. I had just had to be there, you know, in case she went into labor. So I literally hung out in this nice hotel, had lots of free food and game, which was surreal. And I didn't have any kids to take care of. I felt like I was in high school. Mm-hmm. Other thing I'm read a correction about, then I'll shut up, is another gaming thing. I'm able to just pick up on this backlog. So I finally felt like this is an appropriate time to get back into Pikmin 4. I got that for my birthday last year, and I just kind of lost my luster and excitement for it. I was kind of like, man, this is kind of getting redundant. I felt like I was doing a lot of the same things. And don't get me wrong, I think Pikmin 4 is, I think it's above and beyond the best Pikmin game. I think it literally does everything that all the other Pikmin games does, and it literally connects the story from the first three Pikmin games and wraps it up into one game, its fourth one, which I thought was awesome. There's so much to do. There are so many side missions and so many extra things they have you do. It's full of stuff and so many advancements on the gameplay, and it's tough and it's addicting. Every time I have to, like yesterday, I was trying to play this nighttime mission, and it had like all five, the ranking of how difficult it is, there's fire flames. Had five fire flames on it, and man, it was hard. I mean, I tell you what, you literally have to figure out how to be the most productive and move as fast as possible and not waste any time, or you're screwed. But I'm almost done. I'm currently hunting down spoilers, they're not going to say that. It's still pretty new of a game. But I'm hunting down someone, and I'm supposed to be in the last area, and I have a feeling there's going to be a one more thing after it, because it doesn't feel like this is, like, really this is how it's going to end. I don't. Mm-hmm. So, and they already did that once earlier where they roll the credits, and then all of a sudden, you know, you get to the end of the credits, like, wait, we got to go back. And now I'm playing like the second, it opens up a whole new section of the game. So overall, game's really fun. Been happy to be able to play games. I'm hoping to work on some more of my backlog stuff while I exercise, take care of mom and baby, and just casually play games when I can. You know, I'm not like playing them nonstop. I still do other things, but it's been nice to be able to freely play and go let mom relax and put the baby asleep on my chest and play some games. So that's what I've been radical rexing about. Besides that, man, I think we have a very important topic to get to this week. It's obviously a week late, but better late than never. This week we're pulling out one of our older style of episodes we have not done in a very long time. Today is going to be a character spotlight episode all about Princess Peach. Princess Peach, man. We're talking about her as a character and how she's evolved throughout gaming. I think it's fair to say that she might be the most evolved character of Nintendo's since her original inception. Like, when she was created, obviously back in the original Mario Bros. Games, she was just a damsel in distress, right? She was, thank you for saving me. And we got to see her be a damsel in distress again and again and again and again and again and again. And then we finally got to, Mario Kart and for the Super Nintendo, and then you start seeing 64 version and Mario Party. You start to see her in these side games of Mario, and she's not a damsel in distress, but she still has that, that prissy personality kind of way. She's like a blonde princess, and she's just there participating. And then even in the same for Mario 64, and then even in Mario Sunshine, she's like, yet again, a damsel in distress, kidnapped. But you start to see her personality a little more. You can even relate this to Paper Mario games. She's in those games, and you can even play as her a little bit in Paper Mario games. And she does things. She shows that she's not necessarily like a pushover. Once you can like see her in those games, like as we get further along, she's not a pushover, but she's certainly no, I'm a beast type of person either. She's kind of smart and mischievous is what I start to see, like especially from the Paper Mario games. If you remember playing those, definitely the first one. And then we'll get into what she is today, but I mean, why don't you talk a little bit? I'm just talking the whole time about Princess Peach, and your perception of how she's changed over the years.
Definitely like my first time experiencing, a game with Princess Peach was, the original Super Mario Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
It was more in wording than anything,
Right.
Princess is in another castle.
Yep.
And she wasn't the original lead lady for Mario, you have Pauline and so like she's kind of a more bringing in royalty for that instead of just that was kind of planting the seed for something for people to aspire to be the princess thing is really big in the world, just in perception with Disney princesses and everything,
right?
So, holds a lot of gravity, and kids all over the world growing up, I fall in love with the princesses, and
right,
and I can relate to them really well. Even then, people watch the UK's news, even with adults, seeing what the Princess of Wales is up to, or what's Kate doing these days, It's cool that Mario has someone way outside his rank to rescue and pursue, and that was kind of the story for many, many years. They've taken her in several directions. Most of the time, I feel like in Super Mario Sunshine, she was a bit of an airhead sometimes.
Definitely. That's a great perception. You kind of, and there's a, I think, and it's a little weird because I just said in Paper Mario, which came out in 64 and one on the GameCube, which remake's about to come, by the way, can't wait. She didn't feel like an airhead in Paper Mario. She felt somebody who could get things done behind the scenes. She held her, she wasn't like this crying princess in a castle, like, oh my gosh, I'm so scared of Bowser. Like, she had attitude, she had personality. And, when you play the side games like Mario Tennis, and Strikers or whatever other games she was on, and then especially Sunshine, like you said, she feels like airhead. Mario, I'll bake you a cake, and that's about it,
Yeah, did I do that?
Yeah.
No, it's interesting that they take that approach. I mean, going back to, it's old enough now, playing her in Mario RPG, or, even originally, I guess the first thing, the first time I can think of playing her at the casino. And Mario Brothers 2. That's like her origin, being able to play. And that's not even a true Mario game, like, you know, at its core. That was kind of added in. The Mario skin was added to Doki Doki Panic.
Yeah.
And so
that's so true. Yeah, you're right. Wow.
And I know that she was given her own unique ability then, where she could float.
Right.
In Mario 2. And then, you know, you got Mario RPG, and you've got Paper Mario representation. And it took a while for her to get her own game. But we see her growing up over time, becoming more more of a strong role that she is today.
So can we focus on her first game? I mean, because obviously, cat's out of the bag, Princess Peach has her own game, and it's out in the public right now. And we'll talk about that here soon.
Yeah.
But like Nintendo did try to give her her own game first. And I do want to capitalize on one thing you said, which is a great point. Mario 2, you'd be like, oh, Jacob, Mario 2, she was active. She could be a playable character. She could float. She could do things. She wasn't a damsel in distress. You're right. She wasn't. But that game was originally off of Doki Doki Panic, right? Mm-hmm. So it was not designed as a Mario game. Nintendo just thought it would sell better if they slapped Nintendo characters on it instead of these strange new characters that they had created. So they wanted to sell better in the West, so they just put them on there. It was not developed with the mindset of like, ooh, let's make Peach unique. They just put her in there to fill a spot. But because they did that, it gave the perception and the idea of her future, which I think was partially taken part of in the next. In the game we're about to talk about. So what was this first game? It came out, this was the DS era. Pretty much everything else, she's pretty much an airhead in, for the most part, still a damsel in distress, but then we have this one-off DS game that came out.
Yeah, it was Super Princess Peach. You know, take it for what you will. It gave Princess Peach the lead role, and it was no longer, you know, someone rescuing her. She was doing the rescuing. She had her trusty parasol that just a toad randomly picked up for her. But you know, it was a cool game. It was well done game. And it did receive a little bit of flack for being emotional based. Just people reacting just to that idea was kind of upsetting, but Nintendo pulled it off really well, and it was more of a game mechanic than a, like, oh, you know, girls are emotional type thing. No, everybody was emotional in the game because of this, for lack of a better word, a curse,
mm-hmm.
you know, that befell everybody. And basically people felt heightened emotions of that one particular emotion and got stuck in that emotion, whether it's rage or crying or whatever.
Right.
And she was able to manage those emotions really well, and you know, help save everybody. So it was a cool idea, despite it having a little bit of a connotation that was off. But those things, those people that actually played the game, that was one of the reasons why I didn't really touch it initially, was because, like, oh well, it's just, you know, it's portraying girls in a bad light or something like that. But it wasn't the case at all. Even though that was what was kind of initially, you know, that was the initial reaction of the internet at the time, which wasn't super.
I mean, this is 2006.
Super big then. Yeah, there wasn't a whole lot of, like, internet presence outside of, like, chat messengers and things like that.
And websites,
you would read your
your
gaming magazines and your websites.
I mean, I never personally took it offensive. You know what? I mean, like, some girls are emotional. Some girls are prissy. And I think Nintendo was trying to just capture that. I mean, that's what Disney always has done. I mean, they've obviously done more and have been more, you know, they do obviously do go watch the Disney movie. They do things a little differently now, but I don't fault Nintendo for trying to make a game like I didn't get it. Not because of that. I just didn't get it because I felt like it wasn't for me. I felt like it was trying to appeal to little girls. And if anything, it was trying to show girls can go on an adventure and do something and not always be the one who's captured. Whereas Peach is the one going and saving Toads and Mario in this one. And I thought, you know, so like, I don't take it. I guess it's just how the lens you view it at. And don't get me wrong. Also, not every girl is emotional like that. I mean, heck, my wife is not an emotional person like this. Our daughter Charlotte is, absolutely, but mom is not. And that's the issue that I think that people did take, is that it kind of stereotyped that, oh, all girls are emotions and they want to use hearts and stuff to capture their enemies and to overcome things. Although I will say a mad woman is dangerous. So like, if you are a married man or have a girlfriend or whatever, you understand, guys, a happy wife is a happy life. So Nintendo kind of knew what they were doing here. I mean, what, the developer of the Boo, he created it based off of his wife because she was shy. Did you know that? The guy who he created it because his wife was very shy and polite in person. But then at home, if you made her mad, she would like come after you and mm-hmm. was not afraid to show her how she really felt at home. So, you know, so I kind of see where Nintendo's going with this. But obviously, it didn't stick the landing. It didn't do as good as they had hoped, I think. And we're not covering this game today. We're just talking about it. I mean, it got decent ratings, B+, C+, 6 out of 10s. So it wasn't a terrible game. It was, I'd say it was a C level game, you know, and something to hope that little girls would invest in back at the time. So besides that, you know, we move forward and Peach is pretty much back into the role of just damsel in distress and side character games. Now, we've had a huge shift, though, and the pop culture of Nintendo, because you fast forward to today, this whole Switch era has really changed the perception of Peach, because Peach went on to be playable in like Super Mario 3D World, and that kind of built back on that Doki Doki Panic Mario 2's thing, where you could play as her and do things with her. So it's not like she's just been always the damsel in distress. However, I would say that her as a character was not fleshed out more until this Switch era. And the first game I would like to talk about is Mario Odyssey. Mario Odyssey clearly set a new tone for Princess Peach. Was she kidnapped? She was, yes. And she had a lot of personality in it. But that's the thing. She went, I did not view her in Odyssey as an airhead, Ryan. Like in Sunshine, she was an airhead. Galaxy, she's an airhead. Galaxy 2, she's an airhead. She's just an airhead and wants to bake you a cake every time. But now I think she showed good emotion, a good personality. She did not want to be forced into marrying Bowser, that is for sure. And then at the wedding, if spoilers now, game came out in 2017, I think you should have played it by now. Once you save her from getting married, I mean, at the very end of the game, she does show her anger and she does like, what? Does she like slap Mario or Bowser or something like that? Because they're fighting over who gets to like marry Peach or whatever. And, she just like leaves them straight up. She's like, all right, see ya. And then after that, she goes on an Odyssey tour around the world with her companion, Cappy's sister, who is her crown in the game. So then as you like replay the game, do more things and collect more moons, you see her and she's doing things. She's shopping. She's being an individual. She's not surrounded by a luxury of Toads. Like, oh, we got to do everything for Princess Peach. We got to carry her stuff. We got to help her here and there. Like, no, she's just out doing her own thing, being her own individual woman. And I think that started to show a little bit more about Peach. Because before, she's always escorted by the Toads, or she's got to be, she's royalty for Pete's sakes, right? So I really think Odyssey started to show her not look like an airhead anymore, and that she was her own individual person who could make her own individual choices. I mean, would you agree about my take on that or no?
Yeah, we saw glimpses in the past of her having her own personality or her own spark. She's not the tomboy. Like, that's not really what she is. That's Daisy's thing.
Correct.
You know, as they say. But she you see some glimmers here or there, like her ducking out of the way when, you know, everybody was coming towards her to kiss her. And
Yep.
And, that, you know, there's some, you see some glimpses of personality, but they really start to drive it home. And Peach's narrative, you know, in the Switch era, like you said, definitely. You know, she even represented in Super Smash Brothers. She's got the higher voice. She plays her sports, you know, but she has Toad as her counter. You know, she's got a good build. They brought back the float, you know.
Yeah.
You know, she hits someone with a frying pan or a golf club or a tennis racket.
Mm-hmm.
She pulls up the vegetables from
yep.
very based on two.
Yeah.
But there she is still, like, she might be a floaty princess, but she can also kick butt as well.
She can. And I will say on those side games, especially Mario Party, I always, and Mario Kart, I always feel like, and I could be wrong, but I always felt like she was, like, always secretly good. Like, if you play her as a computer, she's always, like, harder to defeat, especially in Mario Party. She's always a thorn in my side. And I do feel like she was, I don't know, it's probably, I might be making up my head, but at least for me, I do feel like she was harder. In Mario Kart, I felt like she was pretty fast, like one of the secret fast characters, too.
Yeah, she's by no means the damsel in distress that we
grew up.
We saw of her and what we grew up with, you know, and she's becoming more of a role model, for empowering young girls,
right?
Or just any girls in general, but
yeah,
you know, with the Mario movie, like that's a whole different thing. Like we'll get into here in a second.
But, that's great, great segue, honestly.
Yeah.
This is how her character changed a lot. All right. We go from Odyssey and then we get the announcement of the Mario movie within the few years. And then we all around this time last year, we're watching it. And this finally just blew the lid off of how I think Nintendo wants people to start viewing Princess Peach. I mean, yeah. For Pete's sakes, in the movie, Mario looks more of like the buffoon because he doesn't know how to platform. He doesn't know how to do anything. And Princess Peach is teaching him. She wasn't captured by Bowser in the beginning and the Toads go off and find Mario to help. His first encounter is she's throwing him over her shoulder and slamming him into the ground like it's Smash Bros, you know? and then she does everything. She teaches him. Everyone looks to her. She is looked to like as a strong leader, not as like she's just the one who was born into royalty. All the Toads like really like, we need the princess because she will solve this. Like they made her look strong. And I think that's a big difference. Peach in the past games looked helpless and kind of like, man, I don't really want this person leading me, to be honest, because she didn't look very like a leader, like a noble leader. And this one she does. And the movie shows that. And she fights Bowser. She takes power-ups. She beats up bad guys. I mean, and she's not doing it because she's extra sad or she's getting really, really mad. Like, she's just focused. She's got it all together. That's what it feels like. Even when she's defeated, it's not like she breaks down and she starts bubbling up with teary eyes like she's a 8-year-old girl whose ice cream just fell on the floor. Like, she is a strong woman, and they've really portrayed that and showed that. And I think, I personally believe that the way Peach will be handled in games moving forward, it will forever be changed because of this movie. And the movie did great. Okay, let's be real. If the movie was a flop and people did bad about it, Nintendo would stay away from that again for another 20, 30 years. And they'd go back to what they've always done. But I think Nintendo will run with the perception and persona that they gave off in that movie that kids today will grow up remembering. Like, their nostalgia will be, oh, man, this came out when I was 5, you know? Like, that's what they're going to go off with now. I truly believe that. And then, you know, this movie, we can segue into the game that just came out. And what is it? It's called Princess Peach Showtime. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Just came out last week on Thursday. And, well, I think you have, but I actually have not actually played the demo. I have watched 3 different people in my household play the demo, and I help guide them through it. The gameplay mechanics are pretty simple. I mean, you hit your button to attack enemies, and the dodging, I think, kind of happens automatically. The game is set up pretty easy. I think it's a great game for kids to play. It's not something that I personally feel the need to play, but it plays well, and it looks great, and Peach is... I feel like it's like definitely a mesh of the Peach we used to know and the movie Peach now. And because she comes off as more royalty, I feel like her personality fits her old Princess Peach a little bit, like the way she talks and stuff. Obviously, it's a different voice actor and she's not saying lines of dialogue in this game, but then her actions represent more of the Peach that we see in the movie. And Ryan, why don't you just dive into the demo? You've played it. Tell me what you thought about the demo. Tell me how you view Peach from the game and what you think about it, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I want to start off by, like, I like the theater mechanic that they're using there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, putting on a production. And that's kind of the theme, and the whole world is kind of set up as you're going to, like, see a theater, a play, or what have you. And she takes on different roles with this, I guess, like a special ribbon or something that helps her transform. But she's really very much like, oh, I gotta go help everybody. Like, I gotta save everybody. She's the rescuer, the firefighter. She's like, I've got to help everybody. Like, they're like, princess, we need to get you to safety. She's like, no, I'm going to stay here and help people. You know, she takes on that personality. She has a lot of spunk and a lot of, initiative when she does the transformations. There's theater flourishes. Like, there's a spotlight. You walk around to the spotlight and you can do this pose. And you can get bonuses from doing that. It's very, very interesting to see the makings of this game really show. Like, they gave it a theme and they ran with it, and it fits really well for Princess Peach. The sword fighter was straight up, you know, beat 'em up mechanics.
Yeah.
Like, it's pretty fun to do that. And even then, like, she has, like, parries and dodges and things you can do too. So it felt like a pretty good thing. Like, you know, WarioWare has its micro games. This is like a, it's not quite a full game, each section, but they each hold their own and have their own special, like, controls and what have you. You know, once you get through all of, like, the sword fighting part, then you can move on to the second part, which is the pâtissier, I think it's how you pronounce it. Which is basically a pastry chef. A cake decorator and what have you. It was very, very different. It was a lot of timed button presses, and it wasn't as engaging as the sword fighter was for me personally, but I also saw the charm of it. And each time you go through those levels, you're trying to, there's a collectathon element, where you collect all the medals, for lack of a better word.
Yeah.
You
know? Well,
and
look at the difference between the two levels, okay? Like, the two levels, we just talked about how in Super Princess Peach for the DS, she's kind of shoehorned in as, I don't know, this emotional, stereotypical view of what girls are, right? And then we just talked about the movie that shows her as she can be tough and she can handle things and get dirty if she needs to. And the first level, the first, you know, stage play, she's doing Princess Peach stuff from the movie. Like, she's getting a sword and she's fighting bad guys and she's dodging them and she's beating a boss and kicking butt. And then you go over here, you go to the other side. Well, then she shifts and she puts her traditional Princess Peach hat on and she is, it's like a, you're like helping this bakery sweet dessert place and she's making cookies and she is decorating cakes and helping out the townspeople of this play with their pastries. And that is like old Peach. I mean, heck, the Paper Mario game we talked about, you freaking bake a cake for a shy guy, you know? And she is always talking about baking cakes for Mario and all the past games. So I think this game gave you an image of how they're trying to fit all of her personalities together. They gave you one side, they give you the other. And then at the end, you get like a trailer commercial of just like a, hey, like, you know what? If you had fun with this, there's more to come. There's more here. And there's lots of transformations, right? You can be a ninja. You can be a cowgirl. You can be a fighter. Like, they're a space person that looks like a flying shooter level.
Power Ranger, pretty much.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like this game is putting her in so many different types of roles that makes her appealing. And it is good for girls to show girls that, like, yeah, you don't have to just be in the bakery shop cooking and baking. But if you are a girl that wants to be like that, because not all women want to go out and do dirty work either, right? There are women out there who would like to bake a cake and be that stay-at-home mom kind of stereotypical traditional role. There are women out there who are like that. And then there's all these other stage plays that were, if women who feel like, no, like, maybe there are women who are very athletic and they're playing an athletic portion of Peach and they, and that's represented here. And I don't know. I just think that the game played really well. My wife liked it. And two of my kids who have tried it, they absolutely loved it. They beat the whole thing, the whole demo. And they're like, man, can we get the real thing, Dad? And I'm like, yeah, hey, maybe we'll see, you know? They liked it. And I thought that was awesome. And even my son, you know, like, he wasn't like me as a kid, like, oh, this is a princess, I'm not playing this. He just booted it up and he played the whole thing and beat it by himself. I didn't have to help him. He was the only one I never had to even help guide through. He just did it. And that was cool. That was proud dad moment there. But I think the game's appealing to not just girls. I think it can be appealing to boys. I think it can be fun. I've been tempted to want to play it myself. I've just got other backlog games I think I'd rather play right now, but overall, I think this is going to be a grand slam for Nintendo, and I think the ratings have been really good for it, actually. They're better than what Super Princess Peach was.
Yeah, good. I like hearing that. For me personally, this game, it touches on notes of my favorite Mario Party game, which is, you know, Mario Party 2. With the costumes.
That's great. Great point.
And, like, I always thought it'd be cool to play through, like, levels based on those costumes, and we're kind of getting that now with Super Princess Peach. And the theater motif speaks a lot to me, but also touches on that Super Mario Party 2, like, you know, playing the roles and being in those worlds and those boards. It gives me that idea. So I think it's a game that could hold a lot of nostalgia for my future as I play it. I did hear it's a little short, but you know, you've got your collect-a-thon elements, and I don't know what all is involved, like if there's post-game or anything like that. But I think it's something that I would definitely be interested in getting at some point and playing. I don't have any plans right now to pick it up. But I think it's definitely something that I would enjoy. It seems like right up my alley for hitting nostalgic notes, as well as seeing, you know, where Nintendo is taking Peach in this new direction. I think we've got a good game on our hands here, and I'm looking forward to being able to experience that and see Princess Peach grow into the new roles and the new personality that they've given her, you know, with, you know, the new Mario Brother movie, the sequel has been announced. It'd be cool to see where they go with that, and just in general how they have her represented moving forward.
Yeah, I think I hope the game continues to do well. I hope it sells well, because I really would like to see them do more of Princess Peach. I mean, heck, I would love to play a 3D platformer with Princess Peach and things like that. And just if this goes really well, I feel like this is a test game at the end of the day. I don't feel like Nintendo put this game as like a triple A status development. You know, it's not like even Metroid Dread, even though this is more of a 2D side scroller. It's not like that, you know, or Luigi's Mansion. I feel like this might be a B tier game overall, but I think that it is done well B tier game. And I think it's a test because this is coming out towards the end of the Switch life. Right. And
yeah,
it's showing, I don't know, because it's not such a huge game, but it's filling in a gap right now for Nintendo. But it was done right. It wasn't just like done like, hey, let's just get something quick and easy out there. Maybe we'll sell some more Switches. No, I feel like the game was done with care, with a purpose. And I feel like it will, if it sells well, I feel like we'll get more of it. Like a Kirby and like a Yoshi game. We'll start seeing regular Peach installment games. And I think that would be great. I really do.
Yeah.
But overall, her character has really changed. She's not this damsel in distress anymore. Can she still get captured? Yeah. Even strong people. I mean, heck, Donkey Kong Country 2, my favorite one, is because Donkey Kong got kidnapped. So even the main characters can get kidnapped, and that doesn't make them weak. It makes for an interesting story. So who knows? I mean, her being developed as a character, in my personal argument, can maybe further create better dialogue and better future adventures that are Mario-based. By having her character fleshed out more, and you can see more of what she can do. So, but with that said, Ryan, tell everybody where they can find us, and we will try to be back next week with more Nintendo nostalgia for you guys. And side note, we know that we have voicemails. Sorry, we did not get those today. We just need to make this a little quicker. The next week, we'll try to go over those for you.
Yeah. Thank you all for listening. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, YouTube Music at Nintendo NOSIN, on Spotify, Amazon Podcasts, Pandora Podcasts, Facebook. You can find us at Nintendo NOS, on TikTok at Nintendo _NOS, X Twitter at Nintendo NOS _NOS, Instagram Nintendo NOSIN. Shoot us an email, NintendoNostalgiaIN@gmail.com. You can also call into our nostalgia hotline, share your memories, and show us some love at 317-969-5690. Guys, that brings us to the end of the episode. Thank you so much for listening, and we will catch you again next week. Later, Preston.
See you guys.